and the world will soon be evangelized. I think D.L. Moody has it right. I think that there are many in our community today that just are simply looking for love, the love that comes from God. There's Rick Warren once shared with us that there's a God-sized void in everyone's heart, and we try to replace it with all kinds of different things, but there's only one thing that will fill the God-sized void, and that is God. And you know, I believe that this young boy has a lot of wisdom. When you know and experience true, sincere, godly-type love that a church shares and perpetuates in the congregation, there's something incredibly special. We're blessed as a church because we kind of understand that. When Paul and I first came to our church, we were loved and loved unconditionally. People cared for us. And to this very day, 23 years later, we still feel that same unconditional love. And I've often shared it with a lot of my pastor friends. I'm very confident whoever walks into the doors of our church will always be loved and accepted. Doesn't matter if they are involved in a lifestyle of sin. They're not going to love the sin, but they will love the people who walk in this door because that's what Christ needs us to do. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote, "Do you waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor? Act as if you do. As soon as we do this, we find out one of the great secrets. When you're behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love him. If you injure someone you dislike, you'll find yourself disliking him more. But if you do him a good turn, you'll find yourself disliking him less." Well, that's kind of an interesting perspective. If you don't know how to love, just look and begin to respond in a caring way. And then you won't just be doing things because God will then begin to teach you about what his love really is. And it's not just activity, it really is an action based on that internal thing. James Packer, he shares the Greek word agape, love, seems to have been virtually a Christian invention, a new word for a new thing. Apart from 20 occurrences in the Greek version of the Old Testament, it's almost non-existent before the New Testament. Agape draws its meaning directly from the revelation of God in Christ. Is not a form of natural affection, however intense, but a supernatural fruit of the Spirit, found in Galatians 5. It's a matter of will rather than the feeling, for Christians must love even those they dislike, and Jesus made that clear in Matthew 5, 44 through 48. It's a basic element of Christ-likeness, agapeo love, unconditional love, the love that God has for us that we begin to accept and do our best to begin to reflect that type of love, loving people. So a new command is what Jesus gave us, a new command, love one another. So do you? Do you? Do you love your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you desire to see them? Do you desire to be around them? Do you desire to worship the Lord with them? Do you desire to get to know them? Do you desire to meet them in a Christian fellowship? Like last night, we had a wonderful time in a hayride. It was just a lot of fun. Christians coming together and having a lot of fun. Fellowship. Do you desire to serve them? Do you desire to serve our community alongside them? Do you love one another? That's the question. And that's the purpose of this message today. So would you turn to your Bibles, John chapter 13. We're going to read verses 31 through 38. And if you can turn to those and if you can stand to your feet as we read them together to honor the Lord and his precious word. John chapter 13, starting with verse 31. "When he was gone, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You'll look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.' Simon Peter asked him, 'Lord, where are you going?' And Jesus replied, 'Where I'm going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow later.' Peter asked, 'Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you.' Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you'll disown me three times." Let's stop and pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for your love, and we thank you for your word. And Father, as we begin to explore this passage of Scripture, Lord, I pray that you'll be clear to our hearts. Help us to hear your word. Help us to understand it. And Lord, help us to have a desire to apply your word of truth to our life. We thank you and praise you. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as we look through this passage, and I will always remind you that we have our bulletin notes that's inside there. You can follow along as we go through this message. But this is a very special passage. Not only do we see a new command, but we also see the prediction that Peter was going to deny Jesus Christ. And now it's explicitly clear in some of the other synoptic gospels in more detail, but nonetheless we see here Peter who's saying, "Hey, I'll lay down my life," but then Jesus said, "Hey, listen, not only are you not going to lay down your life like you think you are, you're going to deny me three times." As much as Peter didn't want to believe it, you and I know the rest of the story, and we know that there are desperate situations and times that came through, and sometimes our fears overwhelm us, so it's happened to Peter. And so that fateful time had actually come into fruition. But Jesus knew that he was not going to be on this earth much longer, and so he was taking every opportunity with his disciples to teach them. So every word that Jesus teaches goes deeper than what they might seem at face value. His impending death would soon be fruition, but Jesus wanted to leave the disciples with something special. He left them with a reminder that he, the Son, was glorified, and the Father, too, is glorified. In fact, if you begin to explore that passage, it really describes the deity of Jesus Christ. He wasn't just some man. He was fully man, but he was fully God, and he was God the Son, and God the Father was glorified, and the Son is glorified, and the Son wanted to live his life to bring glory to the Father. And so we see a claim of deity in that particular passage of Scripture at the beginning of this passage. But Jesus also wanted the disciples and all future believers to know that they would all come to be where he was going. While it wasn't that moment when the disciples would be going with him, because he had to go there by himself, and we all know that through his crucifixion and all that there was a period of time where he went away and then came back and was resurrected. But this morning we realize that today that we know the truth that when we are no longer part of this body, when we die physically with this death, that our souls will go to him in heaven and be exactly where he is, just as he has promised us to be. But this morning we're going to focus on the new command. There's a lot in this particular seven verses that we've just read, but this message is going to be focusing on the new command, love one another. So how is it that we do it? Well, I believe that there are three very important points that we need to explore as we explore loving one another. And the first point is this, hearing Christ's command. Hearing Christ's command. Verse 34, the first part of it says, "I give you a new command, love one another." Jesus Christ gives us an authoritative command. Now, he doesn't just tell us things. He tells us things so we can hear it, so we can understand it, and so we can apply it. So he doesn't just go around telling us, giving us commands with no expectations of us of implementing it. So he definitely gives us a command for a purpose. Remember, Jesus had made explicitly clear that if we love him, then we would do what he says. And that's in John's Gospel, chapter 14. So he clearly commands that we love one another. And love is not a new concept, nor is it a new command that he has given. However, what is new is the motive of how we love. We are to love one another as Christ loves us. Now, we're getting to this new concept, this new command that he's given to us, because it's not about the command to love, it's commanding us to love in a very specific way. And we are to love like he loves us. So we are to love one another how he loves us. Sometimes what Jesus tells us to do is easy for us to accomplish. There are many of the commands of Christ that we find to be relatively simple and relatively easy for us because we have the faith level that matches that command. But at other times, the command he gives to us is incredibly difficult and overwhelming even for us. It doesn't give us the right to exempt ourselves from doing it. It's just very difficult. It's easy to love those who are easy to love. I think that we can understand that. If you find somebody that is very similar to you and you build a bond of relationship with them and they're a brother or sister in Christ, it's easy to love those type of people. But that's not all that he tells us. He tells us that we have to love everyone of us, love one another. And there are some of us who are not so easy to love. So those who are difficult to love, sometimes we just want to skip. We want to act as if there is an exception clause in our relationship with the Lord that allows us to exempt ourselves from having to love people that we don't want to love or are difficult to love. But friends, we are not exempt. Jesus commands us to not simply, it's not a simple distraction or white noise that's there. Jesus' commands are not simply good information. Jesus' commands is not an option. Jesus commands us and then expects us to put what he commands into action. If we love him, then we will do what he says. So, do you love Jesus? Do you do what Jesus commands? To do what he commands, we need to hear him. We have to hear Jesus. Sometimes we get distracted and we just don't hear him. Paula knows that after 32 years of marriage that I love her. I have to be very careful when I use Paula's name in a message, but this one's on me, it's not on her. Because she also knows that sometimes, I don't know about you, maybe I'm just a unique man, but I suspect I'm not so unique. But when TV is on and the Cardinals are playing baseball, which they're not playing anymore, but if they were, Paula probably has learned over the years that talking to me and getting my undivided attention while the baseball game is on is probably not the best time to do it. But if she has something important to tell me, this is something that I have learned that I need to, or I should do. And what I should do is just simply turn the TV off and give Paul my undivided attention. But I don't know about you guys. Sometimes I just don't do that. And sometimes she tells me, and then I repeat what she said, or I don't repeat what she says, but I respond to her, though, because I want to be rude, and I say, yep, or uh-huh, and I give her this indication that I just heard everything she told me. And then the ball game's over, and I'm thinking, I said, boy, I wonder what we're going to do for dinner tomorrow after church. And so I'll go up to her, and I'll say, hey, Paula, what would you like to do for dinner tomorrow? And then all of a sudden, she said, what are you talking about? I said, well, I just wanted to find out what you want to do for dinner. She said, did you not hear what I was talking to you about just a little while ago? And I said, no, you didn't tell me anything about dinner. She said, yes, I did. And you said, yep, and uh-huh. You know, prior to that moment, I knew I had done something wrong. But guys, you know where, you know how it can be. You know you did something and said something stupid, but you just don't know what it was that you did. And for the life of me, I'm playing this back. Until finally, she gave me that hint of yep and uh-huh, and I knew exactly what it was. Well, obviously, guys, that's absolutely inappropriate and absolutely wrong. I should never treat my wife that way, shouldn't treat anybody that way, but sometimes it can fall into that. And it can also be the same example of what we do with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus tells us things. He gives us commandments. And we say we're attentive. We say yep and aha to that. But when it comes into putting into practice, sometimes we struggle. And Jesus, just like Paul, would never deserve me to treat her that way. God does not ever deserve for us to ever treat him in such a way. That means that we need to turn off the distractions of our life. And we need to give God our undivided attention. We can never know the commands of Christ if we don't hear the commands of Christ. And going through the motions is not the same thing as listening and hearing and understanding and applying. Hearing Christ must become a priority for us as Christians. And how is it that we hear him? Well, we spend time in prayer. And prayer is not just an activity that we do. Prayer is a relationship with God, that we spend time with him. And the more we spend time with him, the more God reveals himself to us, the more we understand him, and we grow in that personal relationship and that friendship with God. Then we also need to understand that to hear God, we need to meditate on his word. And that's just not reading through it until we fall asleep. It means that we meditate. We read a passage of maybe one verse, and we just meditate on it and make that part of our spiritual dinner for the day. Bible reading, Bible study, applying God's word to our life, living an obedient life to him, all are important ways of being able to hear what God needs to tell us. seeking and valuing the things of God rather than the sinful world, when we're able to do that, that's when we know that we are hearing what God has to tell for us. The world can be a distraction. It can be that white noise that we have that we know so well in our own lives. But we must cut out the distractions, and we have to listen to Jesus and hear his commands. And then we must follow his example, which is our next point. Follow Christ's example. Verse 34, the last part of verse 34 says, just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. As we said a little earlier, the new command is a new concept, and that concept is to follow and to love like Jesus. We know that we are to love one another, but more specifically, we must love one another in the example way that Jesus has loved you and me. How does Jesus love us? Well, he gave up his own comfort level for us. That's how he loved us. He came, he was living in heaven, you know? But he knew that salvation for mankind was needed, and so the only way that we were going to be able to come into that right relationship is if he would leave the comforts of heaven and come to earth, and that's exactly what he did. So he left his comfort level, and then he came to this earth, and over his lifetime, he began probably becoming a carpenter, as we understand it to be, and he was probably pretty comfortable. He's probably making a living. He had a place to stay, and so his life was comfortable. But then God the Father said, it's time now, son, for your ministry to come place. You're here for a reason. It's time to move on. So he gave up not only his comforts of heaven, but then when he was here on this earth having a good career, having a good family, a good life, and everything going great for him, he gave up that comfort level so that his public ministry, which is directly influential to you and me, could be actually be come into fruition. So, as we think about how he loves us and giving up his comfort level, are you willing to give up what you're comfortable with to love others like Jesus? Now, when Jesus tells us to love one another like I loved you, the very first thing out of the get-go is he gave up his comfort level to love us. Are you willing to give up your comfort level to love one another? Are you willing to be uncomfortable to introduce yourself to someone you don't know but may be hurting, who might be helpless, it might be hopeless? Are you willing to do a Bible study when God's called you to do it, even if you have no experience and feel so unqualified and very uncomfortable? Are you willing to knock on a door of a new person in the neighborhood to introduce yourself and simply to invite them to church? Jesus never let his comfort level stop him from loving others. I wish I could say the same, because there's been times when I've been so uncomfortable that I chose to be disobedient to God and not do what he says. I hate to admit that, but it's truth. And if you know me well enough, you can see that in my life sometimes when I'm too uncomfortable to do something. But the thing is, that is not an excuse and that's not an example. We must get out of our comfort zones and do what God's called us to do and love others like Jesus. See, Jesus never let his comfort level stop him from loving others. Jesus sacrificed for those he loved. And Jesus loved the Father, and he loved others, even when people attacked him and his love. And so that's another thing that we see here as we think about Jesus and how he loves us. He not only gave up his comfort level, but he also was willing to sacrifice. Jesus did not have to go through the sacrifices and sufferings that he went through, but because he's God the Son. But he chose to do that. He chose to do it because he loved us enough, and he loved the Father enough to remain complete with God's direction, but he also wanted to show us his love. He loved us enough that he gave up his own life so that we could live. So sacrifices, to include his death for mankind, was something that Jesus freely gave because of his love. The example of love that Jesus shows us is also found in his forgiveness. But as we think about sacrifice, are you willing to sacrifice your own self for the love of one another? And forgiveness is one of those things that we often need to sacrifice. Are you willing to forgive those who hurt us? You know, Jesus set the example. Jesus did. He even said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Think of the worst thing that has ever happened to you in your entire life. Think about the vicious sins that people have perpetuated against you. Do you realize when Jesus died on that cross, that he does know that sin. He died for all sins. So even the sin that brought hurt to you, Jesus knew it and took it on, and he died for it. Sometimes we just feel that an unforgiving heart is justified. When someone sins against you, it doesn't just affect you. It also affects God. God is also a victim of that. And he's also always willing to forgive, for he sets the example of forgiveness. We must sacrifice the greatest hurts of our heart, and we must be willing to forgive. That is the love of Jesus. And if we do not have forgiveness in our hearts, as the example that Jesus has given to us, sometimes we will find it to be a major hindrance of loving one another. So, that is the love of Jesus. Are you willing to sacrificially love others? Are you willing to sacrifice your hurts? Are you willing to sacrifice your time and your talent and your abilities to show your love of others, of Jesus to others? Jesus didn't just show his love by dying for us. You see, friends, there's something greater than dying for someone. Because dying, while it is great, it's a one-time deal. You can only die one time. But what Jesus did, he did die for us one time, was buried and rose from the grave. And the thing about it, Jesus, is he doesn't just die for us, he also lives for us. And living for one another means that every day you need to die to self. Every day you need to give up your own self so that sacrifice and love for others can be shown. The greater love that he showed is living for us. If we love someone enough to die, like I said, it can only happen once. But if we love someone like Jesus loves us, we will live for them every day. Loving someone with the love of Jesus and living for them means that we die to self every day and live for Christ and live for others and love others as he showed us. Jesus showed us the example of loving one another as he loved us. Jesus gave up his comfort levels. Jesus sacrificed for us. Jesus forgave us of our worst sins. Jesus died for us. But most importantly, Jesus lives for us. So do you love one another as Jesus loved you? That is the new command. Jesus set the example. Now we must follow it. And that leads us to our third and final point today. Living Christ's love. Verse 35 says, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another." See, the love of Jesus Christ is extraordinary. And when we have that real and personal relationship, we know the extraordinary love of God. The love of Jesus cannot be digested and understood, unfortunately, by the sinful world. Sinful man's love is generally conditional, because until God begins to draw people to himself, they're always about the conditions of love. If you love me, according to the world, then I'll love you back. Yeah. If you don't love me, then I'm not going to love you. That's the world's conditional love. But that's not how Jesus works. Jesus loves you when you love him, but Jesus also loves those who does not love him. The love of Jesus is unconditional. There's only one requirement for God's love to be received, and that simply is that you accept it. See, it's all a gift of grace. When we repent of our sins and turn away, which repent, that's exactly what it says. It's not just asking for forgiveness, but it turns the other direction. So sin was once the avenue that you were going, but now because of this gift of salvation and his love, you turn away from sin and go the opposite direction. And when we accept this gift of salvation, this payment of our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, through his life, death, and resurrection, and when we accept Jesus as the Lord or absolute authority of our life, that's when we begin to understand and to know and to experience the love of God. And when we know the love of God, his love becomes part of us. And when we have the love of God in us, then we will live Christ's love to others. And when we live in Christ's love, the world will begin to see that we live different lives than the sinful world. How does the old beautiful hymn go? We sang it last Sunday. You know, they will know that we are Christians by our love. So friends, does the world know that you're a Christian by your love? The love of Jesus is extraordinary. The love of Jesus is different than anyone else in the world. When the world sees the love of Jesus, they see something different. Verse 34 says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another." It is not normal for people to love one another unless the normal is entertained through the love of Jesus Christ. They will see us love the people who are difficult to love when they see us loving like Jesus. See, when the world sees the love of Jesus, they see something different. They will see us love those who are hurting. They will see us love those who are broken. They will see us love those who are hopeless. They'll see us love the ones who are helpless. The world must see us by our love. So, do you love one another? Are you living Christ's love? Jesus says, a new command, a new concept. Love one another. And then he qualifies it. Love them like I love you. That's the new command, is loving like Jesus. Would you stand with me with our heads bowed and no one, eyes closed, no one looking around? Let me ask you a couple of questions as we prepare for this invitation time. Verse 34, one more time, it says this. It says, I give you a new command, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must, that's a command, you must also love one another. Do you know this new command of Jesus? Do you hear it? Are there any distractions in your life that's preventing you from hearing Jesus? If there is, then get rid of it. Get rid of the distractions, that white noise that somehow distracts you away from hearing what Jesus has to tell us. Remember, if we love Jesus, then we will do what he says. Jesus says, love one another. But Jesus just didn't tell us to love one another. He showed us how to do it. He shows us that his love includes getting out of our comfort zones. He shows us that loving like him requires sacrifice. He shows us that loving like him requires us not only to receive the forgiveness of God, but to forgive others. He shows us that his love is willing to give your life up for those who you love. But it also tells us that his love, most importantly, means living for one another every day of our life. Are you living Christ's love? Jesus said the world will know you as his disciple, your love. What is your love telling the world as to who you belong to? For the world sees you. Do they see the love of Jesus when they see you? Are you living Christ's love? I'm going to have a word of prayer, and if you need to make any type of decisions today, I want to invite you to come. For perhaps today God's been moving in your heart. Maybe you've never repented of your sins and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know that today is the day to do that. Perhaps you have done that, but you've been struggling. There's been things going on that's incredibly complicated in your life right now, but God knows that complication. He wants to boil it down to the bone and tell you this: I love you. I forgive you. I want you back. Then maybe that's what you're feeling in your heart today. And maybe today you need to reacclimate yourself to the love of God so that you can be re-energized with his power, the power of the Holy Spirit, and show people who you belong to. When people see you, do they see the love of Jesus? Father, we thank you for who you are, for what you mean to us, and thank you for the power of your word. Lord, bless us now. Lord, if there's anyone here today that needs to make any type of decision to accept you as Lord, to follow in believers' baptism, unite with this church, or Lord, they just have a burden on their heart, Lord, just give us the courage to step forward right now. We thank you, Lord, and praise you. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. We're going to sing page number
443.
If you need to make a decision, I'm going to invite you to come right now as we sing.
Open my